You are listening to Radio Maria Canada, a Catholic voice wherever you are.
I've got no regrets. I wouldn't change a single day.
Happy Easter, everyone! It's Easter! He has been raised, he is not here. Mark chapter 16, verse 6. Today is the happiest day in the church year. Mark tells us that the first witnesses to the resurrection fled from the tomb, saying nothing, for they were afraid. We know this is not the end of the story. Joy overcomes fear. Welcome, brothers and sisters, to the Father's Quilt. I'm your host, Christina Doyle. And again, I hope and pray that you have all had a blessed and continue to have a blessed Easter season. We are a church today because the women who witnessed the resurrection spoke to Peter. They spoke to the disciples. Yes, it took time for reality to sink in, but the news of the resurrection was too big, too good not to share. We continue sharing today because for us, too, joy overcomes fear. And we are Easter people, and we cannot help but share the news. He is risen. After 40 days of fasting and Lenten observance, right, everybody? I hope you hung in there throughout the 5 weeks of Lent and were able to manage and remember why we do that. And I pray that it has been a real wonderful and transforming experience for you all. You know, Easter is about life. Life where we least expect to find it. Life that overcomes the power of evil and death. Today, Gospel hints at this in showing us the disciples looking for Jesus in the tomb. Mary Magdalene had seen Jesus die on the cross and wanted to honor him one last time. She looked for Jesus who had died and found only emptiness. Peter and the other disciples saw only the linen that had wrapped Jesus' body. There was no sign of life. The disciples were invited to change their way of thinking, to see life in a new way, with new eyes. Mary recognized Jesus when he addressed her by name, but still she had to learn that although Jesus was alive and present to her, his risen life was different. She had to let go of what had been familiar and accept Jesus' new way of being with her. Death had changed everything, but it did not extinguish the life that is God's gift. So as Christians, we are Easter people, people who support and proclaim life. Like Peter and Mary and the other witnesses to the resurrection, we are invited to recognize life in new ways, even where all seems to be darkness, for our God is the God of resurrection, the God of life. The apostles and the disciples of Christ, through their preaching, table fellowship, and prayers, passed on to others their faith and trust in God's plan of salvation. The readings, of course, like the disciples and apostles, they live charitably and selflessly. We too can enter the kingdom of heaven. And central to this, of course, are the elements of faith and trust. Just as it was difficult for the Apostle Thomas to believe in a resurrected Christ without seeing him and touching him. So too, it may be difficult for us at times to believe in heaven or in the plan of salvation. It was the same for early Christians as it is for us today. Faith, my dear brothers and sisters, is an act of will. Faith is the result of our resolve that we are going to continue to believe in God in a spirit of trust. And if we lose this trust, we will be left hopeless. So we are encouraged to be generous people who exude loving and joyful dispositions, happy Catholics, right? And indicative of our faith and our trust in God. Let us all be mindful this week, in the upcoming weeks, that we too, we're all called to be disciples of Christ, with the important mandate to spread the good news of God's plan of salvation. The starting point for us is our conviction that through our belief, we will have life, life to the full. Now, brothers and sisters, someone had to die. Jesus just didn't happen to get trapped and crucified. He went to the cross for us. Jesus wasn't defeated. He was the aggressor. He came to defeat the enemy. He had a purpose. He came to die for us, to destroy the curse against us and all the work of the devil. He came and he conquered. He fought and he won. He won at the cross. The war against sin and sickness and darkness was won when Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead. Jesus paid the price, and you and I reap the rewards. The Bible says the wages of sin is death in Romans 6. You sin, you die. In the garden, God told Adam and Eve, if you eat the fruit of the tree of knowledge, you will certainly die. They died a spiritual death that day, and along with them, the whole human race. God and sin do not mix. God is a loving God, but also a just God. The only way we can be free from sin is for someone to die in our place. Jesus brought us back to life by dying for us. He took the punishment that was meant for us so we could live with him forever. Jesus became the sacrificial Lamb of God for us because he really and truly loves us. That is why we call him the Lamb of God. In the Old Testament, an altar was erected in the tabernacle that Moses built according to God's instructions. On the altar, day and night, sacrifices were made for the sins of people. Lambs and bulls and goats were slaughtered, and the blood of the animals was poured out on the altar and covered the sins of the people. These animals died in place of the people. These sacrifices were a foreshadowing of the true Lamb of God that was coming to take away the sins of the world. Jesus is the Lamb that was slain for us, and his blood went into the most holy place, heaven, where Jesus himself, our high priest, presented to God the Father his very own blood as the atoning sacrifice for the sins of the world. God accepted Jesus' gift of himself. God accepted Jesus' blood in exchange for our lives. On earth, the high priest offered a sacrifice for the sins of the nation. This was just a foreshadowing of the real offering to come. Jesus is our high priest. He is both the priest and the offering. And he offers himself not on a human altar, not on the one made with human hands. No, he presented himself and his blood to God himself in heaven. In Hebrews 9, verse 22, according to the law, almost everything is purified by blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Jesus is the true Lamb of God. God required not just any lamb from the people, but the unblemished lambs. God expected the best from people, This too was a foreshadowing of Jesus, who was the only one who could keep the law and truly be an unblemished offering for the sins of the people. He was sinless and therefore the perfect Lamb of God, the perfect, unblemished Lamb. When he sacrificed himself for us, he not only took our sins from us, but exchanged natures with us. He became sin so we could become righteous. He did not just take sin away, but changed us. He gave us a new nature, a righteous nature. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, for our sake he made him to be sin who did not know sin, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. 2 Corinthians 5 again, verse 17. So whoever is in Christ is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. This is really important. The Bible doesn't say that Jesus just took our sins. It goes much further, and it tells us that he became sin. This is huge. And of the most importance, I hope you understand this. Jesus wants us to know that he became something so we could become something. He didn't just give us righteous acts or the ability to do righteous things. He gave us a new nature, a righteous nature. He became sin so we could be righteous. He wants us to get this. He wants us to see ourselves cleansed and righteous. We tend to always be striving and trying to get somewhere and become something when he wants us to know we are already there. We are already somebody new. He has given us new hearts, hearts cleansed, hearts that long for him, and hearts that want to do his will. Jesus really did do it all for us. He even gave us what it takes to love him and follow him and obey him. So, brothers and sisters, be patient with yourself. God is working in you to move you to follow him and obey him. Just don't quit him, whatever you do. We are spirit, soul, and body. And while our spirit is brand new and alive, our mind, our will, and emotions need to be renewed daily. We genuinely become brand new when we choose him for ourselves. Our parents may have accepted Christ for us when we were baptized, but at some point we have to choose him for ourselves. The seed planted in you at baptism comes to life when you choose Christ for yourself. Jesus became sin for us and took the cross, a cross he didn't deserve, so we could become right with God and receive life and all the blessings God intended for us. Have you ever had an aha moment? It can be quite rare, but when you get one, you really know it. It comes as an instant recognition and a realization, sort of like a light flashing above your head. And we suddenly say, oh yeah, I get it now. And sometimes after a long period of seeming quite dense, and that can feel awfully good. Psychology is looking in increasingly at what happens when our brain and body make a mindful connection. Athletes call this being in the zone, that perfect moment when you can do no wrong. Mystics understand that this connection takes place in the soul. This is the sort of epiphany the disciples experienced while walking on the road to Emmaus with Jesus. There are two key elements. I'm just checking my time here, brothers and sisters. Oh, yes. Okay. All right. I'm cool. There are two key elements of the miracle that occurred on that first Easter, and they remain with us today in the gift of the Mass, sharing the word and sharing the Eucharist. After Jesus shared the scriptures with the disciples, when he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. Think about it. If we open ourselves up to the miracle of Christ in the Word, and in the Eucharist, here and now. He is here with us right now, brothers and sisters. And that, my friends, is a miracle. Easter is more than a commercial gimmick of bunnies and chocolate. It is about chaos in our lives, of real people and real places. It is about hope. The letter of Peter presents the challenge to all of us. What is the reason for the hope that is in you? Brothers and sisters, love covers a multitude of things. The Bible says God's love is beyond our human understanding. He gave us his love so we can love and forgive others. We have no excuse if the love of God lives in us. We are capable of loving only because of his love for us. God loved us first, and because of that, we have everything it takes to love. Have you ever noticed how much easier it is to love someone who first loves you? It's much more difficult to love those who come against you. But God made it easy for us. We first have to receive and believe in his love for us. God's love is empowering. God is the source of love. Without God as the center of our lives, we can only love ourselves. We may act like we love others, or we may look like we are loving and kind, but without God, we cannot love others. He is love, right? So, brothers and sisters, spend time every day, whenever you get the chance. Praise God. We praise God because we need it. Praise brings us into a new world, a new realm, a spiritual realm. When we magnify God, our troubles begin to pale in comparison. When we talk about how great God is, we start to believe it. God wants us to hear ourselves praising him because our words that come out of our mouth are powerful. Our words, what comes out of our mouths, changes our minds, our moods, and our attitudes. He wants others to hear us praising him as well, because he wants us and others to remember, well, just how awesome he is. He wants us to remember this, especially when we're troubled, especially when we have something to face, so we will know where to go and to whom. Praise is telling God how great he is. For instance, the Bible says that God is our ever-present help in time of need. Psalm 46. The Bible describes God as all-knowing, all-powerful, our healer and defender. God doesn't tell us he is all-powerful just to brag. He tells us he is all-powerful so we will trust him to fight for us. He tells us he is our defender so we can count on him defending us. He tells us he heals, not to impress us, but so we will trust him to heal us. God tells us how great and mighty he is for our sake. God wants us to hear those words of praise coming out of our mouths because he knows that faith comes from hearing. When we speak it, we hear it. Eventually, we will start believing the words we are speaking. The Bible describes God as our ever-present help in our need because he is. He means it. He doesn't want us to doubt his love and ability and willingness to help us. He wants us to count on it. He wants us to tell others how great he is so others will know where to go for help in their time of need. The devil hates to hear praise and worship coming out of our mouth. He is powerless against it. Praise defeats the enemy. What is your enemy? What do you fear, worry about, or dread? What do you fail at consistently? What are you addicted to? Instead of complaining about it, start praising God. So you will remember that God is victorious. The enemy will hear you and learn that he has no chance against you. Powerful stuff this afternoon, huh, brothers and sisters? Yeah, absolutely. Finally, brothers and sisters, May this be the beginning, this whole beautiful Easter season, a beginning of a new and successful, bold, and a confident you. May you rise up out of every pit that you've fallen into, crawled into, or been pushed into. You have the greater one living in you, so nothing is impossible for you. May your eyes be opened. May your heart be receptive to the Word of God like never before. May you hunger for it and crave it more than anything the world has to offer. May His love overwhelm you, and may the Holy Spirit reveal the Lord of Lords to you in a mighty and personal way. I pray that no weapon comes against you, and every stronghold be broken in the name of Jesus. God wants you more than you know, and He has more gifts for you than you can possibly imagine or contain. When we get to heaven, we will see a storehouse full of gifts bearing our name, gifts that were never opened. I heard a story once about a man who scheduled a trip from Europe to America. John secured passage across the Atlantic, and while on the trip, he remained in his cabin most of the time and brought with him snacks to hold him until he arrived. When he did venture out of his cabin, he saw men and women enjoying all that the ship offered, such as music, games, and dinners that to him looked like a feast. He was practically starving, but all he could do was watch. When the ship finally pulled into the harbor in New York, he said in passing to a fellow passenger, "It's a good thing we are here. I haven't eaten in days." The man looked at him incredulously. "Why not?" the fellow passenger said. The man said, "I brought only a few coins and could not afford the meals." The other passenger replied, "Sir, the meals were included in the price of the passage." Are you missing out on what is yours? Jesus did it all on the cross, my friends. He secured for you a place in heaven. But not only that, much, much more. You are seated at the captain's table. Don't miss out on the meal plan that has already been provided. Jesus provided you with health and life, peace, and joy and security right here on earth, not just one day in heaven. His kingdom is here. Jesus said, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Don't miss out this wonderful time we have on earth to thrive and live in Christ and for Him. Glorify the Lord with me. The Psalms encourage us all the time. And read maybe even a book of wisdom, and starting off with the book of Sirach, right? Beautiful readings. Tell of His mighty deeds. Tell someone, what has He done for you? What has God done for you? What have you seen God do for you that you want to talk to about with others? Ask Him, and you will receive. In faith, brothers and sisters, you have no testimony because you have not yet asked in faith. Ask God, and you will receive. Open your hand and receive His goodness. And then, for goodness sakes, pass it on, brothers and sisters. Pass it on. So, brothers and sisters, the litany of praise for the last few minutes, and I will end it there. Praise you, Jesus, you are my life, my love. Praise you, Jesus, you are the name above all names. Praise you, Jesus, you are Emmanuel, God with us. Praise you, Jesus, you are King of Kings. Praise you, Jesus, you are the King of creation. Praise you, Jesus, you are the King of the universe. Praise you, Jesus, you are the Lord of Lords. Praise you, Jesus, you are the Almighty. Praise you, Jesus. You are the Christ, Christ the King. Praise you, Jesus. You are the Lamb of God. Praise you, Jesus. You are the Lion of Judah. Praise you, Jesus, you are the bright morning star. Praise you, Jesus, you are champion and shield. Praise you, Jesus, you are our strength and our song. Praise you, Jesus, you are the way of our life. Praise you, Jesus, you are the only truth. Praise you, Jesus, you are the real life. Praise you, Jesus, you are the wonderful counselor. Praise you, Jesus, you are the light of the world. Praise you, Jesus, you are the living word. Praise you, Jesus, you are the redeemer. Praise you, Jesus, you are the anointed one. Praise you, Jesus, you are the Holy One of Israel. Praise you, Jesus, you are the good shepherd. Praise you, Jesus, you are the sheep gate. Praise you, Jesus, you are the Lord of hosts. Praise you, Jesus, you are my hiding place. Praise you, Jesus, you are the Savior of the world. Praise you, Jesus, you are the bread of life. Praise you, Jesus, you are the living water. Praise you, Jesus, you are the true vine. Praise you, Jesus, you are my spouse, my maker. Praise you, Jesus, you are the deliverer. Praise you, Jesus, you are our victory. Praise you, Jesus, you are our salvation. Praise you, Jesus, you are our righteousness. Praise you, Jesus, you are our wisdom. Praise you, Jesus, you are our sanctification. Praise you, Jesus, you are the great I am. Praise you, Jesus, you are the cornerstone. Praise you, Jesus, you are our joy, our portion and cup. Praise you, Jesus, you are my healing and wholeness. Praise you, Jesus, you are the promise of the Father. Praise you, Jesus, you are the everlasting one. Praise you, Jesus, you are the Most High God. Praise you, Jesus, you are the Lamb that was slain. Praise you, Jesus, you are the just judge. Praise you, Jesus, you are the balm of Gilead. Praise you, Jesus, you are the mighty warrior. Praise you, Jesus, you are my defense. Praise you, Jesus, you are the bridegroom. Praise you, Jesus, you are my patience. Praise you, Jesus, you are the resurrection and the life. Praise you, Jesus, you are the Alpha and the Omega. Praise you, Jesus, you are the beginning and the end. Praise you, Jesus, you are all that I need and all that I want. Praise you, Jesus, you are worthy of all praise. Amen. God bless you. Happy Easter, and may every day be a blessed Easter. Praise God. Hallelujah. He is risen, and hope for everyone. God bless, and bye for now. This is Christina Doyle, and this was The Father's Quilt, and you are listening to The Litany of the Holy Spirit. Bye for now.
I've got no regrets. I wouldn't change a single day. A single day.